The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwarten
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, daily minimum wage goes up by 1 cedi. Controlling accountant general doubts existence of ghost names on government payroll. EC to use biometric verification machines in upcoming district-level elections. More than 30 staff of Central Medical Stores being investigated over fire that ravaged facility. Disagreement between Nigeria and Cameroon stalls efforts to set up regional force to combat Islamist militants Boko Haram. And Ugandan rebel commander Dominic Ongwen arrives in The Hague to stand trial for war crimes. The national daily minimum wage has been increased from 6 cedis to 7 cedis. That is an increase by 16.7%. The single paying salary structure has also been increased by 13% across board for the year 2015. This was announced by the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu. The decisions were raised after negotiations were concluded by the Public Service Joint Standing Committee. The new wage, which takes effect from January 1, 2015, is tax exempt. A report by Nana Momari and Sefako Fepe.
For the first time, Labour and government have amicably agreed on a wage increment. Presenting a communique signed by members of the Public Service Joint Standing Negotiating Committee, the Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, Haruna Idrisu, urged workers to work hard to increase productivity to improve the economy and ensure harmonized labour relations.
It was agreed that the national daily minimum wage be increased by 16.7%. That is from 6 Ghana cedis to 7 Ghana cedis. The effective date of implementation is 1st January 2015. The current basic salary on the single span salary structure shall increase by 13% across board for the year 2015 at the current pay point relativity of 1.7%. I accordingly have also noted to convey to higher authority some major issues that have been raised by labor. Government to sparingly and rarely facilitate the use of sole sourcing and to allow for competitive and transparent bidding of government contracts to save resources for the state. There should not be job losses within the public sector of Ghana for the year 2015. Because these negotiations were concluded 20th January, the understanding is that the Controller Accountant General will process January's salaries on the basis of a common consensus that was reached by the parties. But all outstanding arrears and what has been agreed upon today will be paid accordingly to workers at the end of February.
The Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Employers Association, Alex Frimpong, advised workers to change their attitudes towards work. He explains the effect of the current power shortage to productivity.
The economy must be predictable so that businesses can operate and become sustainable. We cannot do justice to this issue without tackling the issue of energy. Without energy, businesses cannot operate smoothly.
The Public Service Joint Standing Negotiating Committee comprises government, represented by the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, Minister of Employment and Labour Relations, and Ministry of Finance on one hand, with Organized Labour and Employers Association on the other hand.
Was a report by Nanama Omari and Sefako Fepe.
The General Secretary of the TUC, Kofi Asamoah, explains the effect of the increment to the ordinary Ghanaian worker.
We also sympathize with those who are working, particularly in the informal economy, where things are not. But in a regularized way, if the minimum goes up by 16%, you, the one at the middle, will have climbed more than if you work in the salary and your minimum. You see, the minimum person in time, assuming that is any less than the minimum wage, and pay goes by 16 point something, it has to automatically reflect on your salary tax. So those above that level will go higher than the human square. But it's only those who are in informal and then the question of employed and those who are, I mean, those who employ very less. And also some sectors of the economy where the people say this is the minimum wage, so this is what I'm doing. But then if you look at the salary structure, if the minimum goes high, all other things are so good. But we also do so because we are also mindful that you don't set the minimum wage which will throw people out of job. Because in a small scale place, if you go and say the minimum is 20, indirectly you are saying that the person throws the job. And the person there would prefer taking that small chance to be thrown out of job. So we take account of big time employers, small time employers, and what have you. Even if you go to the developed countries, people take more salary, but the minimum is always low. because it's supposed to be the safety net. Some countries even don't have minimum. It's like pay should take its own level depending on what you are working. But we believe that if you serve the safety net, it's better for the vulnerable, those who are lowly placed, to ensure that they have something given to them at the time that we like. So what do you say about the base pay? The base pay went up by 13%. Because normally the base pay is also supposed to be higher than the minimum. The government salary, the government as employer don't have to pay less than the base, I mean than the minimum. So the base pay will be at a level calculated, and we know that it's above the national minimum. So wherever, that one is across board. So wherever everybody is taking the 13.something%. Unlike the minimum wage that it is only paying the bill. But now every public sector worker will have his salary increased by 13%. We also gave some indication our conditionality to accepting this way. That is to say that we don't want retrenchment. You know, the IMF is around the corner. So we committed everybody to agreeing that we don't want retrenchment in the public sector. That's an agreement. And you agree with me that in certain wages, if you set wages higher to the level where the employer say, I'm second people, then you are not acting responsibly as the union.
You just heard the TEC Secretary General Kofi Asamoah.
And away from that, the Control and Accountant General says it cannot confirm or deny the existence of good names on government's payroll at a news conference in Accra. The Controller, Madam Grace Azrov, says there are some inconsistencies in media reports on the payroll. She said most of the publications contain serious factual inaccuracies, which are greatly affecting the integrity and credibility of the department. She insisted that the department conducts continuous cleaning of the payroll data through audit and head counts and wondered how there could still be ghost names. The brouhaha over the existence of ghost names in the payroll system is being championed by Imani Ghana, which insists government's payroll is full of ghost names. Now, Chesua and Emilia Aite have more.
The Controller and Accountant General, Grace Adjo, says her attention was drawn to the media publications which claim to have exposed what is called payroll mafias. The news conference was therefore intended to offer clarifications on the department's payroll system and also clear the air on inaccuracies published in the media. The Controller and Accountant General, Madam Grace Adjo, said it is erroneous to state that all the payroll challenges arise from the IPPD2 system.
The attention of the department or the controller has been drawn to these publications, and in particular the publication in Chronicle newspaper of 19 January 2015, which was captioned Payroll Mafia Exposed. Since the publication contains serious factual inaccuracies and impinge on the integrity of the Controller and Accountant General and her staff, the Controller's department operates two payroll systems, namely what we call the IPPD2 and the IPPD3. The IPPD2 is based on an Oracle platform, whilst IPPD3 runs on a Microsoft Navation. Now also, while IPPD3 is used to run the payrolls of GES and pension, IPPD2 is used to run the payrolls of all the other public institutions that are expected to be on the mechanized payroll. Mission Softride Ghana Limited was contracted by the Controller Department in 2008 to develop a backup payroll system for the department, a backup payroll system that we refer to subsequently as IPPD3.
Madam Major was unhappy that the publications sought to create the impression that the Controller and Accountant General's department is taking no action to improve the payroll challenges. She outlined actions it is taking to make the payroll one of the best in the world.
The impression is being created that the Controller's department is not taking any action to improve the payroll or to address the payroll issue that come up. We wish to know that under the auspices of the Ministry of Finance and in collaboration with the Public Services Commission and other stakeholders, the following measures are being taken. A cabinet committee has been set up to review and address payroll challenges. The committee has had a series of meetings and we had the opportunity to explain to them the business processes. The objective for setting up the committee is for the committee to appreciate the issues and come up with recommendations for governments on addressing the payroll challenges, in addition to what the other relevant stakeholders are doing. The other measure that the department together with other agencies are undertaking is that there is the development and implementation of electronic salary payment voucher system, which allow heads of departments to depend determine who to pay monthly. And so heads of department determine who controller should pay. And therefore, if the issue about gross rates and all that, we want to explain that the system we have, the heads of department determine who should be paid at the end of every month. We also are continuously working to clean the payroll data in collaboration with the MDAs, recognizing the fact that the data is for the MDAs. And therefore, if we have to clean them, we are in a better position to help identify the correct data and finish the system with it. Other measures that we take to do payroll cleaning is through audits, headcounts, and also suspension of salary.
Madam Ajo, without missing words, said the department takes exception to the publications, some of which she said pose security threats to the system, users, and individuals.
We want to say that the department takes exception to publishing confidential correspondence in the media, contrary to the confidentiality clause in the service level agreements that the department signed with SoftTribe. We also take exception to the publishing of the letters and the full payroll assurance reports of KPMG on the internet, thereby posing security threats to our system, users, and as well as individuals. We think that this is highly unprofessional. It's much of lack of confidence in the relationship.
Control measures activated by the new management of the National Service Scheme Secretariat have prevented about 75,000 ghost names from entering the service's payroll in the 2014-2015 service year. The internal mechanism has saved the nation 26.5 million Ghana cedis, which otherwise would have gone into illegal pockets. Traditionally, names on the national service payroll go up every year, but the 2013-2014 figure of 184,965 dropped to 89,612 in the current service year. The acting executive director of the NSS, Dr. Michael Besser-White, said one could deduce from the development that a lot of rot had characterized the system. He said President Mahama has given his full backing to the process to weed out the rot at NSS. In line with the control measures instituted by the new management, the allowance of service personnel can be processed only on the completion of a monthly reporting form that must be duly signed by the service person and his or her superior officer. The reporting form was introduced to eliminate the phenomenon of ghost names in the scheme. The scheme has also brought on board a chief internal auditor and a chief accountant on secondment to strengthen the accounting and auditing process.
The AMA has given all churches operating in schools a six-month ultimatum to end worship in these schools. The chief executive, Alfred Okubandapo, said church activities destroy facilities in schools and these defeat the purpose for which they are established. Speaking at the South Carton for the construction of a Millennium City School in Accra, Mr. Vanderpoel said the vacation of churches from school premises will pave the way for effective education of students.
All churches have up to July to end worship in our schools. From July this year, we will prepare our schools so that from September, no churches can worship in our schools anymore. Because the tenant trade is destroying the furniture in our schools. Students' work cannot be painted on the walls. The churches going in and out of our buildings are currently and every day destroying the furniture. And we need to put an end to that. So we are urging our churches to please take advantage of the 6 months ahead of us to please seek alternate places of worship so that we will have a peaceful transition of taking back all of our classrooms to continue to educate our children very effectively.
That was Chief Executive of AMA, Alfred Okubandapo.
The Accra Metropolitan Assembly will next month cut the sod for the construction of 12 Millennium City schools at the cost of about 30 million cedis. This is to complement government efforts in ensuring quality and accessible education to the Ghanaian child. The chief executive of the assembly, Alfred Okubandapo, made this known when he cut the sod for the construction of a school at the St. Joseph Anglican Cluster of Schools at Bubuashi. He called on religious organizations to liaise with government to build more educational facilities. Priscilla Pia, and Yahoo America have the details.
The Chief Executive Officer of the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, AMA, Dr. Alfred Okovandapoy, said the construction of the 12 Millennium City Schools is in recognition of AMA's success in the Functional Organizational Assessment Tool of the Local Government Ministry for the past 3 years of its operations. He said, every 6 months we see a short cutting to commence the construction of an educational facility in the capital. He tagged the contractor to work hard to meet the one-year target set for the completion of the project.
The next 3 weeks to 1 month, AMA is set to cut short to construct 12 Millennium City Schools as a result of the money that AMA has accrued because we have passed what for the past 3-4 years. For the contractor, Yakon investors to get to work. And students, I am here to assure you that next year, 2016 January, first year, when you start school in January to commission this new building, so Mr. Contractor, get to work. Work on weekends, work on holidays, work hard, ensure quality, ensure hard work, so that a year from now, our children, the future leaders, will have a modern environment.
The Metropolitan Director of Education, Angela Mensah, was grateful to AMA and the Anglican Church for the initiative, adding that this will go a long way to develop the educational system in the metropolis.
We at the Ghana Education Service are excited because in order to achieve all our goals, especially access to schools and the provision of quality education, whatever is happening here today will go a long way to assist us to achieve that. We want to thank the Accra Metropolitan Assembly, especially the mayor, and also the Anglican Church for giving us the land. And whatever is going on will help my children and the teachers in the sub-metro. We'll be able to provide the right human resource base for the development of Accra Metro and Ghana as a whole.
That was the AMA Chief Executive Alfred Okovandapoy and the report by Priscilla Pia and Yao America.
The Electoral Commission says it will use a biometric verification device, BVD, for the upcoming district-level elections later for March this year. According to the Commission, the devices were upgraded after they were used in the last general elections. It says each polling station will be given 2 devices on election day. The AC Commissioner in charge of Upper West Region, Hajia Sadat Amaida, disclosed this during a training workshop for journalists in WA. Correspondent Swala Abdul-Wahab reports.
The workshop aimed at building the capacity of the participants to enable them to report accurately on electoral activities and elections. The regional director of EC, Silva Kweku, said the media provide the commission with the necessary feedback on its activities while others misinform the public through their inability to seek information from the appropriate sources. A veteran journalist, Chris Alabila, who spoke on the media's contribution to election success in the media are powerful and that practitioners should use the power to promote development and not chaos.
Wherever you are working, whether you are with the print or you are with the electronic media, you have the responsibility to ensure that whatever you are feeding your listeners, the viewers, the readers, you are giving them the correct stuff and not a figment of your imagination. If you are not sure of anything, please cross-check and cross-check before you come because it's difficult to do repairs after the damage.
The EC Commissioner in charge of Upper West Region, Ajia Sadat Ameda, disclosed that there will be no special voting during the district level elections this year.
You should also know who can participate, what people require to be able to participate, so that if there's anybody who has been disqualified and you are reporting, you should report exactly on why the person was disqualified.
The director at the election department of the EC, Daniel Amenyo, took the participants through the characteristics of rejected and spoiled ballots and the process of calling for recount of ballots during elections.
Swala Abdul-Wahab reporting.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories. Daily minimum wage goes up by 1 cedi. Controller and Accountant General doubts existence of ghost names on government's payroll. EC to use biometric verification machines in upcoming district-level elections. More than 30 staff of Central Medical Stores being investigated over fire that ravaged the facility. Disagreements between Nigeria and Cameroon stalls efforts to set up regional force to combat Islamist militants Boko Haram, and Ugandan rebel commander Dominic Ongwen arrives in The Hague to stand trial for war crime.
You will come back. More than 30 workers of the Benz Central Medical Stores in Tema have been interrogated by officials of the Bureau of National Investigations, BNI. So far, 14 senior officers, 7 middle-level officers, and 12 casual workers have been questioned. Many more are in line to be investigated as part of efforts to gather leads on how the fire started. A source at the BNI says the initial interrogations to help establish if there were criminal intent behind the fire. The outcome of the initial interrogation would determine the direction of investigation. The Central Medical Stores was gutted by fire last week, in which 273 million cedis worth of drugs were banned.
The Ghana Coalition of NGOs in Health is calling on corporate agencies and the international community to support the emergency procurement response of government to replenish the Central Medical Stores ravaged by fire. The coalition at a media briefing described the destruction of the stores as a great loss to the country. Its national chairman, Gabriel Benaku, said, called on governments to consider a comprehensive national insurance policy and implementation plan for all state assets.
A Korean volunteer doctor at the Tema General Hospital, Dr. John Jin Young, with support from the Korean International Cooperation Agency, KOICA, has renovated the main theater of the Tema General Hospital at a cost of about $50,000. The refurbishment is to enable the medical officers to provide better healthcare services to clients both in Tema and its environs. Dr. Young, who is a general surgeon, handed over the refurbished theater, nurses' resting room, and recovery ward to the management of the hospital. Edition has filed this report.
Since its establishment in 1958, the main theater of the Tema General Hospital has seen no renovation. This compelled the Korean volunteer doctor to seek support from the Korean embassy and KOICA to refurbish the facility to meet current standards. Dr. Young said his 2.5 year stay in Ghana has been worthwhile but challenging due to language barrier. He mentioned that health workers need to be compassionate in handling patients since they need comfort to recover. The country representative of the Korea International Cooperation Agency, KOICA, Woo Shanshang, said it is the agency's aim to help provide quality health care to Ghanaians.
So he's a volunteer doctor. Before him, there are few Korean doctors already serving here. So he replaced them. So he's 2.5 years term of service is finished now. And also he suggested to KOICA because this emergency ward block needs refurbishing. So KOICA checked the feasibility of this and we providing a fund, which is $84,800 amount, almost $50,000 amount. So through this money, they're refurbishing all inside, including surgical room, recovery room, and waiting room. So it may be contributing to provide better service to the patients. And also, medical staff welfare is very important because they need some place to take a rest and change in their room. They need a place to take a shower and eat. But before our project,
that was the Korean volunteer doctor at the Tema General Hospital, Dr. Jeon Jin Young.
Many domestic airlines have resumed operations following significant improvements in the weather. The acting director general of the Ghana Civil Aviation Authority, Alassan Abdullahi, told Radio Ghana that the authority hopes for further improvements in the weather in the days ahead. Local flights to parts of the country, especially Tamale and Kumasi, were grounded following poor weather conditions due to the Harmattan.
Yes, I think there have been significant improvements, though they have risen the patients.
So, to all parts of the country?
Kumasi too is okay. Tamale too. I think there's improvements, so they are going.
All the local airlines?
Yeah, all the local. If you are not moving, it's not because of the weather. So, I think that they also have operational issues. And we give them the weather update for them to move. So, for us, I think we have flights going to Kumasi and Tamale.
Will you be able to tell us how many planes left? Or
no, I'll not be able to tell you now. I don't have the top of my head.
But in the course of the week, do we expect to see further improvements?
We expect further improvements. So, if they don't have any other operational flights,
passengers are assured that able to board flights to the north and Kumasi and to Takoradi and other parts of the Senjani.
To a large extent, yes. But you know, apart from the weather, we have other issues. So, from the weather angle, I'm sure they can fly.
So, what of international flights?
There's no problem with international flights.
The acting director general of the Ghana Civil Aviation Authority, Alassan Abdullahi.
332 drivers accused of misusing defective vehicle DV and drive from port DP number plates have been tried 139 Ghana cities. Accused persons whose vehicles were impounded in two separate operations but Accra Regional Command have appeared before the Motor and Magistrate Courts in the two suits organized by the 7 divisions under the Accra Regional Command of December 2014. On January 3rd this year, 818 cars were impounded and that drivers arrested.
Mistrust between Nigeria and Cameroon, as well as disagreements over how to deploy troops against Boko Haram, have stalled efforts to set up a regional force to combat the Islamist militants. Failure to launch the 2,800-strong mission as planned in November has left the insurgents in control of Nigeria's northeast from where they launch attacks. The group, which aims to carve out an Islamist emirate in northern Nigeria, carried out a scorched earth raid this month on Baga, a town on the shores of Lake Chad that was due to serve as the headquarters of the regional force. A man purporting to be the leader of Boko Haram Islamist group has said in a video that his fighters carried out deadly attacks on the Nigerian town of Baga earlier this month. And now, a Gambian journalist fleeing the persistent persecution of journalists in the Gambia, Serene Marina, has urged African journalists to highlight the plight of journalists in the Gambia to press President Jammeh to abide by the rule of law. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Marina described as hellish being a journalist in the Gambia. He spoke to Ibrahim Kwating.
I flee my country, currently based in Dakar, Senegal. I left the Gambia sometime in November 14 after attempts by the authorities to get me rearrested. Following my acquittal by the courts on false publication charges, I was arrested in January 2014 alongside with one of my editors on a story I author on the opposition's political rally. There was a rally organized by one of the biggest, the biggest opposition camp in the Gambia, called the United Democratic Party. You know, I covered the rally, and in that said rally, 14 green roots who are die supporters of the ruling party defected to the opposition camp at that rally. So I reported that story, and then authorities claimed that there was no defection. So I was arrested in January 13, detained up to 16, and then taken to court, charged with two counts, that is conspiracy to commit misdemeanor and, you know, publication of false news with intent to cause fear or alarm to the public. I was tried for 11 good months. Since from January to November, I was going up and down in the court. 3 magistrates handled my case, and the final magistrate who handled my case decided on my case that, you know, prosecution failed woefully to establish essential ingredients of the offense charge. That is to say that, you know, false publication. So I was acquitted and discharged. But when I was acquitted and discharged, the authorities feel that, you know, they were not happy with that the court decision. In the Gambia, to be a journalist is not easy. You don't have money, you know. It's not easy. It's not easy because the environment is not very conducive for journalists. We have seen that, you know, for the past couple of years, a lot of journalists flee the country due to security reasons or due to the work they do.
Gambian journalist Serene Marina in that interview with Ibrahim Kwating.
Top Ugandan rebel commander Dominic Ongwen has arrived in The Hague to stand trial on war crime charges. Mr. Ongwen, a feared commander of the Lost Resistance Army, LRA, was taken into U.S. custody in the Central African Republic earlier this month.
football, Group D favorites Cote d'Ivoire began their Africa Cup of Nations campaign with a 1-1 drawn game against Guinea. Mohamed Yatara shot Guinea into the lead in the 36th minute with a powerful left footer into the top corner of the net. The star-studded Ivorian team failed to immediately break down their Guinean counterparts in the second half after making series of incursions. Former Arsenal striker Gervinho was red-carded in the 57th minute for slapping an opponent. The equalizer then came in the 72nd minute of the game through substitute Seydou Doumbia, who controlled the ball before steering the leveler into the bottom corner. The second Group D match also saw Mali drawing 1-1 with Cameroon. The Red Devils of Congo will today try to show the Panthers of Gabon the way to hell as they clash in the second Group A games of the AFCON tournament. The Congolese team are set to capitalize on their hard-won efforts in holding the host nation, Equatorial Guinea, to a 1-0 drawn game in their opening match. The Bata Stadium will determine whether Gabon will be able to continue their winning spree after beating Burkina Faso in their first encounter or feel the hellish stink of the Red Devils. In the same group, the National Thunder of Equatorial Guinea will be expected to redeem their image after a mediocre performance in their first game against Congo. They face the Stallions of Burkina Faso, who are equally poised to bounce back from their 2-0 defeat at the hands of Gabon in their first encounter.
And now turn the news and look at some of the stories that made the headlines. The national minimum wage has been increased from 6 cities to 7 cities, and the single time salary structure has also been increased by 13%. And a controlling accountant general says it doubts the existence of ghost name on government's payroll. The news was presented by Ibrahim Kwan
and Jonathan Thompson in a